We are back, episode 522 with my buddy Jay Connor on the Flip Empire Show. What's going on? So we are going to dive. I got a special episode for you. We're going to dive into how you guys can raise private capital, how you can raise private money. And I got one of the experts in our space and in our industry who's about to drop some serious nuggets on you. Jay Connor has been in the real estate investing world since 2003. You know, one of the things that he's well known for is averaging $67,000 a deal. He's been doing that for many, many years. He's rehabbed hundreds and hundreds of houses. You're going to hear about how he raised $2.15 million in 90 days. What is private money? Why is it so important? How do you even go about attracting private money lenders? Jay's going to walk you through his exact five-step system on how he does that. And it's a lot easier than you think. Trust me. He's a best-selling author, national speaker. I mean, people come to him when they want to learn about private money, when they want to learn about business automation. And he's just an awesome dude. He and his wife, Carol Joy, are out of Morehead City, North Carolina. Just some really cool people to get to know. And I'm excited for you to tune in to this masterclass here because, again, when it comes to private money, you're going to learn a lot. And there's a freedom that you can operate with when you know that you have capital just waiting to be deployed. And whether you're a wholesaler, whether you're a fix and flip investor or a buy and hold investor, private money just makes life so much easier, as you're about to learn and hear. So let's dive into this episode with my man, Jay Connor.
You're listening to Flip Empire, the show committed to helping real estate entrepreneurs who want to build their empire without sacrificing their life. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
My friends, thank you for tuning in to another masterclass here on the Flip Empire Show. This is a special one because I got a dear friend of mine, Jay Connor, on the podcast. Now, before I kick it over to Jay and introduce him, you guys just heard me share a little bit about Jay. Jay, when I think about raising private capital, when I think about private money, Jay is one of two people that comes to top of mind. He is somebody who has been doing this for a number of years. He's worked with thousands of people. He's just an expert when it comes to real estate. He has rehabbed hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of houses, raised millions of dollars. Outside of that, that's secondary. Outside of that, he's just an awesome dude. He emits so much positive energy. He's definitely one of those guys that you want to get to know, that you want to connect with, because your life will be better off as just a result of having a relationship with him. So I can tell you that's been my experience. So Jay, man, I had you on here for episode 242. That was probably over 2 years ago. So it's a long time coming to have you back on.
Alex, thank you so much for having me back, man. And I tell you what, I'll never forget the evening that my wife, Carol Joy, and I had dinner with you for the first time. And man, I've been loving your servant's heart ever since.
Well, thank you. Those are words that I'll allow to land on me, and they really do mean a lot. So let's dive into it. I want to and what we'll do is we'll link up the previous episode you were on, 242. So what I encourage you guys to do is after this show, you might want to listen to it again, because I'm confident that Jay is going to share a lot of nuggets and value that can really help you raise more private money. And life just gets easier. Business gets easier when you have capital you can tap into. I know we'll talk about that. But I definitely want to encourage you to listen to episode 242, because I'm sure that you're going to pick up things in that episode that maybe aren't shared here and vice versa. So with that being said, let's kind of skip past how you got into real estate. And I want to kind of shine a spotlight on, what does your real estate investing business look like today?
Yeah, sure. So we invest, as far as our own investment properties go, we stay right here in Eastern North Carolina. We're in a teeny tiny town called Morehead City, North Carolina. But we invest in this county, which has only got 65,000 people, and we don't even go down east. So our total target market, Alex, that we invest in is only about 40,000 people. So as far as the number of deals that we do, the number is not that great. We do 2 to 3 houses a month, but the average profit is still over $60,000. It's like almost $70,000 per deal that we do. And our median price point on houses is $225,000. So in order to make almost $70,000 per deal, obviously you got to buy a distressed property at about 50 cents of the after repaired value, or 30 to 40 cents of the after repaired value. And there's going to be a major rehab involved to, you know, make that kind of profit. Yeah. So, you know, for 10 years running, over 10 years running, we've netted over $1 million in profit in a small area. And in the last few years, it's been over $2 million that we've netted in profit. And again, the reason for that is because of such high profits, you know, transaction that we do. That's the number of deals we're doing. As far as our operation go, I have a very, very small number of people on payroll. So, you know, the lesson to be shared there is you don't have to be in a huge market to make huge profits and, you know, make a lot of money.
Yeah. And you know what? You're 100% right, Jay. And I think the other lesson that I want to really underscore is there's this narrative out there. Let me know if you agree with me, Jay, in the real estate investor community, in our space, that bigger is better, that in order to succeed and look successful, you have to do tons and tons of deals. You got to have a big team. Maybe, you know, the word scale is used so much. And I've fallen into that trap. So I'm calling myself out there, but I'm so much more impressed by somebody who doesn't have to rely on doing a ton of deals, but their deals, it's high margin, low overhead. It's a lifestyle business. And correct me if I'm wrong, you spend what, less than 10 hours a week on your real estate investing business and you net seven figures a year for the last 10 years?
That's correct. And you know, I agree, bigger is not necessarily, you know, better. In fact, one of my criteria on choosing what deals I want to do is unless there's at least very good possibility of making at least $50,000 on a deal, I don't want to mess with it.
I love it, man. I absolutely love it. And yeah, you get to be pickier, right? You get to cherry pick the best ones. And you know, you and I both know people out there, God bless them, that they do a lot of deals, over 100, 200 deals a year, but they have this big team and this big overhead and their margins are tiny. And I know people that their revenue, their top line is seven figures, but their bottom line is maybe a couple $100,000. And I don't know about you, but that's not why I got into business, to spin my wheels, you know, pump out all these transactions to end up with just a relatively small amount of money relative to the number of transactions.
I agree. I mean, why do we get into this business? We didn't get into this business to like replace a day job with, you know, an entrepreneurial opportunity to where, you know, you're back into the job thing. It's like we got into it because my definition of freedom is being able to do what I want to do, with whom I want to do it, when I want to do it, where I want to do it, and how often I want to do it. And I can't have that freedom of choice if my business is running me instead of me running my business.
Bingo. Amen, my friend. Amen. So obviously private money has played a big role and has had a big impact on your success in your real estate business over the course of, you know, the last several years. I'm curious, how did you get introduced to the world of private money? Tell your story about, you know, you kind of getting hit in the head and taking it on the chin with bank financing and all that.
Yeah. So I didn't wake up one morning and say, hey, I'm going to go raise some private money. No, right. It was a huge blessing in disguise. So Alex, my guess is more than once in your life, you have had a time in your life or an experience in your life, whether it was personal, business, relationship, whatever, that while you were going through it, you were going, oh my lands, how in the world am I going to get out of this? And then when you came out on the other side, you look back and it was actually a huge blessing in disguise. It's happened to us all the time, right?
Right, 100%.
And of course, I think it happens to us all the time because God's involved in our life. So what happened? I remember it, Alex, just like it was yesterday. It was January of 2009. From 2003, when Carol Jo and I started this business, so we've been full-time in this since 2003. From 2003 to 2009, I relied on local banks and mortgage companies to fund our deals. I didn't know there was any other way. I mean, back then, I never heard of terms. I never heard of wholesaling. I never heard of buying subject to the existing note, and I for sure had never heard of private money. So I picked up my phone right here, this actual receiver, and it was January 2009. I called up my banker. I had two houses under contract, and those two houses were over $100,000 in anticipated profit.
Okay.
And so I called up my banker, and I had this conversation many times. And I told him about the deals and the funding required and when I wanted and needed to close. And I learned very quickly on that phone call, Alex, that my lines of credit had been shut down and nobody had told me. And I had a great credit score. I had a 6-year running relationship with this particular bank and banker. And now I've got no way to fund my deals. So I hung up the phone and, you know, in that experience, I coined one of my own mantras, which says it's impossible to fail until you decide to quit. And fear of loss lights a much bigger fire under my butt than hope of gain. And I'm getting ready to lose over $100,000, you know, in potential profit on these deals. So I sit for a moment here and I say, what in the world am I going to do? So I called my buddy Jeff, who was a real estate investor at the time in Greensboro, North Carolina, told him what had happened. He said, welcome to the club. They just cut me off last week at the local bank. I said, what are we going to do? So in that conversation, I learned about private money. I'd never heard of private money. And I don't mean I learned about hard money. All right. Hard money and private money is not the same thing. In fact, there are apples and oranges. So this is not institutional money. This is working with individuals. So I put my program on steroids, my private money program on steroids, and I put my teacher hat on and I started teaching people of people that I know what private money is. None of them had ever heard of it. So in less than 90 days, I was able to raise and attract over $2 million in private money pledged. And you know what? I was able to close on those two deals. And since that time, I've never missed out on a deal for not having the funding. One big lesson I learned from that experience was the most dangerous number in any business is the number one.
Okay, please elaborate.
I had one lender. I had one banker that I was relying on funding all my deals.
Yeah.
And when that relationship went south and did not exist, like I'm like stuck in a corner, right? Yeah. So I don't have one lender today. Carol Joy and I have 46 private lenders today. Yeah. So it's like, you know, we're like spreading, you know, spreading the risk. I mean, I can have a private lender call me up today, or I can call up a private lender and say, hey, I got the next deal for you to do and find out, well, they use that money for something else. No problem. I got 45 others, right?
Yeah, you have an endless supply of capital. And I'm so glad to hear you say that the most dangerous number in businesses, I don't think I've ever heard it quite put that way, but you're 100% right. You know, one of the things that I want to kind of just share with people is as real estate investors and entrepreneurs, we need to look at our business and think of yourself, if you were going to hire a consultant to come in and evaluate your business and kind of do like a SWOT analysis, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. Think of you wearing the consultant hat and ask yourself, how would I put my business out of business, right? And one of the things that I think you might find is whenever you have a one-legged stool, when in other words, whenever your business is reliant on one thing, whether it's a private lender or whether it's one marketing channel, whatever it might be, you put yourself in a very vulnerable state. So I love your story about, you know, not being able to fund those deals because you had all your eggs in that one banker's basket. Juxtapose that to now you have over 45 lenders. There's no deal that's going to come across your desk that you say, hey, I want to move forward on this. And you could probably pick up the phone or send a text message and you have it funded.
Absolutely. And you know, one thing I want to share is that when I have, so like right now, I got a good problem, right? I've got about of that $7 to $8 million that we're always using with our private lenders. I've got about $1.5 million of it right now, what I call sitting on the shelf, waiting for the next deal. And so when I have the next deal come along, I don't ever pick up the phone and call one of my private lenders. We call them their next in the queue, right?
Okay.
So we pay them off. They go to the bottom of the list. They move up until we have the next deal for them. So I never, and I want your listeners to get this, right? When you have a deal, you got your private lenders, you got your relationships in place, you got a deal. I don't ever call them up and tell them about a deal and ask them if they want to do the deal. That's the most stupid question I could ask.
Agreed.
If I ask them if they want to do the deal, now they're thinking, well, is there a reason I don't want to do that deal? Right. I never do what's called sell the deal. Right. I never sell the deal. Here's the deal. When I call up my private lender, let's say they're brand new. They've never done a deal yet. And I never teach what private lending is to a new potential private lender and present a deal. I've already compromised my position. I sound like I'm begging, even though I'm not trying to beg, but never teach your private lending program and present a deal. You've compromised your position. So what I do is I teach my private lending program and what that is, and I teach them about self-directed IRAs. I mean, my lens, over half of those 46 private lenders are loaning us money from their retirement accounts.
Okay.
Well, none of them ever heard of self-directed IRAs until I taught them. None of them ever heard of private money. But here's the deal. I call them up. There's only four things that I tell a new private lender that's never loaned me money. I mean, they've already pledged the money. I know they got $200,000 in either investment capital or IRA, hypothetically speaking. I call them up. I only tell them four things about the deal on the first call. After our chit chat, here's exactly what I tell them. I say, I've got great news for you. I can now put your money to work for you. And I tell them four things about the deal. Number one, where is it? I got a house over here in Newport under contract. Number two, the after repaired value is $200,000. Number three, the funding required for the deal is $150,000. I know they got the money. They already told me. And number four, the closing is next Thursday. So I need your funds wired to the closing attorney by next Wednesday.
Okay.
That's it. Right. And then after we've done our first deal, you know what they want to know?
When's the next one?
How much you need and when do you need it?
Okay. Got it. Well, let me do this because I'm curious. I want to take a few steps back and I'm hoping you can kind of outline and share the framework of what the conversation looks like when you're aiming to attract or establish relationships with private money lenders. So the example you just shared was really helpful, and it's with someone that's already told you, hey, I have a couple $100,000 that I'd like to put to work. They're just waiting for you at that point, right? Let's take a few steps back. How do we even, you raised $2.15 million, I think, in 90 days. I'm curious, how'd you do that, right? And how has that changed today? Like, what does that, for somebody listening that doesn't have any private money right now, and they want to go down this path, what's step one, two, and three?
So first of all, we need to know where we're going before we start. So there's three categories of private money, or there's three piles of private money. Where is it? Here's where it's at. The first pile of private money, or category of private money, is what we call your warm market. So those are people that you already have some type of relationship with, right? That's one pile. Second pile is what I call your expanded warm market. Now, the second pile is a more long-term play, right? So I teach my students and clients, real estate investors, how do you expand your warm market? How do you expand your center of influence? And I say, go to where the money is. The more you roll in, the more sticks to you. So I teach how to expand that. And I'll talk about that here in just a little bit. And then the third category of private money is doing business with existing private lenders, existing individuals, right? So just to be clear, when we're talking about this money, we're talking about a private lender is an individual that loans money from their investment capital or retirement funds to a real estate investor like us to get high rates of return safely and securely. So that's what a private lender is, an individual. So let's come back to the first category, right? Okay. People you've already got a relationship with. So first of all, there's five steps in my world. There's five steps to getting private money from your existing warm market. First of all, step one, make your list. Make your list of potential private lenders that you want to educate as to what private money is. So where do you get your list? Well, first of all, where are your connections? Well, everybody in your cell phone, right? Everybody in your cell phone is a potential private lender, and the people they know are potential private lenders. Email list, right? On your email list, your Facebook friends. And I don't mean your fake Facebook friends.
You mean those actually exist?
Yeah, there are fake Facebook friends. It's like you look in your Facebook and you got a friend, you go, who in the world is that?
Right? Yeah, I got thousands of those. So
is that right? You know, if you're over 50 years old, you know, which you aren't, Alex, but if you're over 50 years old, you still got a Christmas card list that's dwindling fast, right? So okay. Who do you mail Christmas cards to? So, you know, your social networks, who do you go to church with? Who do you go to the Rotary Club with? Who are you meeting with on Zoom these days, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, whatever. So you got this long list. Now we're going to narrow that down to 25 people.
Okay.
And you're going to start at my recommendation with, first of all, who do you know that is retired? Who's retired, right? And if they're retired these days, there's a pretty good chance they got retirement funds.
Sure.
And there's also a good chance they never heard of private money or self-directed IRAs. So we got our list made. Now, by the way, in my new book, Where to Get the Money Now, all this stuff I'm going over right here goes into great detail, mm-hmm. right? Great detail. We're just sort of giving the 30,000 foot view right here.
Yeah. And Jay, before you keep going, I want to go ahead and encourage you guys listening, or you might be watching this show online or on YouTube or on Facebook. Make sure check out Where to Get the Money book now. If you go to jayconner.com/free book, Jay, I'm assuming they just might have to cover shipping and handling. Is that how it works?
Absolutely. I'm going to ask your folks to just, you know, pay a couple of bucks and cover shipping, handling, and delivery. But the book is free, and that'll save them $20 off of Amazon. It hit number one on Amazon a couple of months ago when we released it. So yeah, there's a $20 gift right there. And that's exactly what it looks like. Where to Get the Money Now, subtitle, How and Where to Get Money for Your Real Estate Deals Without Relying on Traditional or Hard Money Lenders.
Love it. Awesome. So go ahead. You guys can check that out. jayconner.com/free book. But I'm sorry, Jay, go ahead, man.
No, you're good. So make your list. And again, the book is going to really drill down on that. Now, step number two of those 25 people, once you've identified them, step number two, we're going to have a casual, short conversation with them. Now, in the book, I'm going to actually give you the bullet points and the script of exactly what to say when you pick up the phone. But here's the gist of it. You call them up, you got a little chit chat, right? And then you have it's a pre-qualifying conversation is what it is. And so it goes something like, you know, hey, Alex, you know, how are the kids? Hadn't talked to you in a while. You're playing golf these days, blah, blah, blah. You get right to it. You say, Alex, as you may know, I'm investing in real estate these days, and I am positioning my company to take advantage of this huge tsunami of foreclosures that's getting ready to happen because of COVID and everything that we've been going through the last year or two. And I'm now opening up my business to people that I know and trust. So I've got a program that is paying insane high rates of return. But Alex, unless you answer yes to the following question, there's no need for me to send you any information. And that question is, do you have investment capital or a retirement account, retirement funds that's not paying you a high rate of return safely and securely? That's what we call the magic question. The magic question is, do you have investment capital or retirement funds not paying you a high rate of return safely and securely? Now, Alex, if you answer that question no, I know you're broke, because 0.22% at the local certificate of deposit at the bank is like no money at all that you could be making, you know, at the bank. But if you say yes, you do have investment capital or retirement funds that you're not happy with their, you know, you may be sick and tired of the volatility in the stock market or whatever, then you say yes to that question. Then that goes to step number three. All right. So step one, make the list. Step number two, pre-qualifying conversation. By the way, in all this process, we're not asking anybody for money, and we're not selling deals. We're teaching people. So step number three now goes to me offering them my 16-minute audio called Stress-Free Investing. Okay. The details of that audio are in the book, but the gist of that, and of course, you know, I email that to them in an MP3 or I text it to them with a YouTube link, but the gist of that audio gives an overview of what private money is. So you see, I'm not going to spend an hour on the phone with every one of these people teaching them about what private money is. Here's a write or downer. Let the tools do the work. Let the tools do the heavy lifting. And so I sent them the audio for them to get an overview of, to learn an overview of private money. The audio does not spill the beans. So the audio does not tell them what my interest rate is, how they're protected, what happens if I die, what happens if I lose my mind and move to the Caribbean, how are they protected? But those questions are raised because step number three naturally leads into step number four. Uh-huh. And step number four is the private lender presentation. So step number four is where we actually teach the private lending program that we're offering. So here's what's the dichotomy shift. When you borrow money from the banks or mortgage companies, who makes the rules?
The bank.
They make the rules, right? They uh-huh. make the rules. In this world, it's a 180-degree shift. Now, my buddy in Kentucky calls it a 360. It's not a 360.
180.
180, right? So here's the difference. When you're borrowing private money, you make the rules. You set the interest rate. You set the length of the note. You set the frequency of payments and all that. And by the way, my exact private lending program that I offer private lenders is in the book. All right. So all the details of, you know, what we pay and all that is in the book. So that's step number four. We teach the private lending program. You know, it can be on Zoom. It can be in person. It can be, you know, any way you want to communicate. So we teach them the program. That's step number four. Still got our teacher hat on. Step number five, at the end of the presentation, I just shut up and answer questions. Here's a writer downer, Alex. In all these years since I've been raising private money since 2009, I have yet to ask anybody for money.
So one of the takeaways I'm really hoping people gather from our conversation so far, Jay, is that you're never asking people for money. That positions you as needy, as wanting, and the money's going to probably run away from you, not be attracted to you. So you're not asking for money. Hopefully you've gotten that so far.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the worst time to raise private money is when you need it.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean,
that's right.
When you need it for a deal, when you need it for a deal, right? The best time to raise it is when, you know, in fact, from my own practice, and I teach my students all the time, look, the money comes first. You got other people out there that are saying, oh, go get the deal under contract. Go get the deal under contract. The money will come. Where? Where is it going to like just fall? Is it just like going to fall out of a cloud or something? Right. You know? Now, yes, if you're a wholesaler and you got your buyer's list, well, what do you do first, Alex? I mean, you're like, you know, you're like the smartest wholesaler on the planet, you know, that I know. What do you do first as a wholesaler? You build your buyer's list, right?
That's right. Yep.
If you build your buyer's list of other real estate investors, that's your funding, uh-huh. right, for that deal. It's the same thing if you're going to stay in the deal. And I'll tell you, Alex, the real estate investors that just really get what I do are wholesalers that have done a deal or two or a half a dozen or 10 or whatever. In fact, I had somebody call me up couple of weeks ago wanting to get the book, and he and his partners did 31 wholesale deals last year. Pretty good. Yes. 31 wholesale deals last year, but they didn't have the funding to stay in any deals. And you know, if you're a wholesaler and you've, like, you know, done a few deals and it's like, man, you know, this 5,000, 7,000, 10,000, 12,000, that's nice, but man, if I'd stayed in this deal, I could have made 70, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But trust me, I get it, man.
So, Alex, have you ever been there in your wholesaling career?
I would say I have walked down that path. Absolutely. You're not going to build wealth wholesaling. It's a great way to generate cash, but it's certainly not a way to build wealth.
So it's like, so, hey, folks, if you're listening, you're watching, and you're a wholesaler, and you want to stay, you want to be able to pick and choose what deals you want to stay in, where to get the money.
Love it. And really what you're saying is what I think about when, you know, as I hear you speak, Jay, is dig your well before you're thirsty. The worst time that, you know, to, you don't want to go hunting for private money when you get a deal. You want that money to be available to you when you have a deal, right? So dig your well before you're thirsty.
Let me tell you something here right now. I'm writing that down. I ain't never heard that, and I love it. Dig your well before You are thirsty. I love it. And that's exactly what we're talking about.
Yep. Well, man, I'm glad that I was able to reciprocate, because you said something earlier. If I can get the spelling right, I'm throwing it up on the screen. You said, correct me if I'm wrong, you said it's impossible to fail unless you decide to quit.
You got it, man.
Absolutely love that, man. So we're on the same page, brother.
That's it. And you know, here's the deal. A lot of times people think, and I've thought in the past, and I may still think again sometimes, I feel like you don't have a choice, right? You always got a choice.
That's right.
you've always got a choice. I mean, my lands, that's one of the great big God-given gifts, is we're empowered with the power of choice all the time. So, you know, sometimes people ask me, say, Jay, what's the most important thing to learn about private money? I can tell you the most important thing to learn about private money. I mean, yeah, you can learn, you know, the program, the steps, where it is, important bullet points to talk about. But it all starts with owning the real estate that exists between your ears.
That's so true.
You know, I mean, the level of confidence. And how do you get confident? You get confident by screwing it up first.
Yeah. Which is inevitable. You got to take steps forward, and you're going to fail. You know, the first time that you speak to a potential private money lender, you're going to trip over your words. You're going to be nervous and anxious and all that good stuff. You got to get past that. You got to get past that, because everybody starts somewhere, right?
Hey, I was myself. I mean, Alex, my very first. So, you know, I had those two deals under contract. I learned about private money very, very quickly, put my program together. And I remember walking into church on a Wednesday night at Bible study. And I had made my list, right? And I had this particular individual in mind I wanted to talk to. I'm not telling I got these deals under contract, even though I did, right? I'm just focused on the money. So anyway, I was nervous about it. But guess what? I did not ask the magic question to that individual after Bible study. I did what I now call, I didn't know what I was doing at the time, but I now call it the indirect method. Okay. So the direct method of raising private money is you ask the magic question. Do you have investment capital or retirement funds not giving you a high rate of return safely and securely? That's boom, direct. But you know, Alex, you may have some listeners or viewers that know somebody that's what we call loaded, but might be a little intimidated to ask that direct question. Like, you may be fearful. Well, if I ask that direct question, then that person I know is going to be thinking to themselves, well, what business is it of yours to know if I've got any investment capital or retirement funds that's not giving me, who are you asking me that question? So the indirect method is exactly what I used the very first time I approached a potential private lender. And here's the gist of it. The details are in the book, but here's the gist of that visit. So I went up to this individual before Bible study, and I said to him, I've got something confidential I want to talk to you after Bible study. Have you got a few minutes after we finish? And he said, well, sure. And so anyway, the hour goes by. Well, I learned after that hour, he ain't been listening nothing about the word of God for a whole hour. He's been wondering about what's that confidential stuff.
Right. You've planted the seed, and now you've invoked that curiosity, right? So
exactly. So anyway, so he's like chasing me down, right? After the closing prayer, he comes over to me. And so we walk down and shut the door in a private room. And here's the gist of the conversation. I said to this individual, I said, you know everybody in this town. You have put a television in everybody's house. He was the Zenith television dealer. Boy, if that don't go back, that was prior to Walmart, right?
Wow.
You ain't never heard of Zenith TVs, Alex.
I was born in 80s, so I know exactly what you said. But that goes back to the 80s. So yeah, go ahead.
So anyway, I said, you put a TV in everybody's house. You put a TV in every hospital, you know, room here in the hospital. You've been in the Rotary Club for decades. I need your help. Woo, there's a right or downer right there. I said, I need your help. Right. I said, as you know, I've been in real estate investing, you know, for a while now, whether you have or you haven't, it don't matter. But as I've been, as you know, I've been investing in real estate for a while. And I have now decided to open up my business to people I know and trust by referral only. Woo, there's another writer downer right there. I've opened up my business to people I know and trust by referral only. And so I am now paying insane high rates of return for people that want to do deals with me. So when you run across somebody that is complaining about their cheap CD certificate or deposit returns or the volatility of the stock market, would you mind spreading the word that I now have a program for people that, you know, you may think it may be a fit for, and would you refer them to me?
Yeah.
Guess what he said?
He's thinking to himself, well, wait a second, I might be interested here.
Exactly. So he said, well, Brother Jay, what you got in mind? So we had a little conversation. Next thing I know, within 2 days, he and his wife are my first $250,000 private lenders, right? And I was able to close on those two deals that I had under contract, right?
Amazing. Thank you. Yeah.
And by the way, here's another writer downer. They always have more than they tell you.
And when you do what you say you're going to do, and however it's structured, when they get their interest and they get their money, what do they want to do? They want to find out when the next opportunity is. And sometimes they don't even want their money back. In fact, my experience, oftentimes they want to keep the money in the deal or roll it into a new one.
Oh, they all, when they're new and I'm cashing out on that first deal that they do, and they say, can't you just keep the money?
Can't you right.
See, I'm not borrowing unsecured funds. I mean, I can legally, but I don't, because I want to protect them. They all get a mortgage or deed of trust to collateralize that note. So no, I don't keep the money, but we'll put it back to work just as soon as possible. And here's another writer downer. Here's how you can raise more private money like that without even trying.
Talk
so
to
here's another nugget. When you cash a private lender out on their first deal, and they're all excited and they want you to keep the money and all that, so you tell them you got the payoff coming to you. Here's how you raise more private money by just one question. You say, look, I'm paying off your $150,000 note. We're cashing out on this deal. I'm going to put your money back to work for you just as soon as possible. Would you like to add some more capital to it to invest?
Mm. Nice.
And it's so easy, right?
Yeah. And I bet you have a high conversion rate from just asking that question and generating significantly more money just with one question.
Absolutely. And again, folks, remember, I'm not asking for money for a particular deal. It's all about having this servant's heart, having your teacher hat on. You know, the only complaint I've received from my private lenders all these years is, why didn't you tell me about this opportunity sooner?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, Jay, is that I'm throwing out a number, but the vast majority of the public out there, over 95% of people, I would guesstimate, have not been taught how to have their money make money. And so most people only know a money market, a CD, a savings account, you know, maybe some more people. I think that people have been taught by the media, by the banking system, that, you know, a 3-6% rate of return on your money is pretty decent. You know, most people aren't earning 5-6%. So I'm not sure what you pay, but if you tell somebody they can earn 6-8%, 6-10% secured by real estate, they're in first position, you're doing them a favor. The way I look at it is, you're presenting an opportunity to them. You're not asking for money. You're presenting an opportunity for them to earn more money on their money.
That is a big part of the mindset, right? Because when real estate investors first start learning, and when I'm teaching them about private money, I got to get out of their head that you're chasing money.
Yeah.
We're not chasing money. I mean, in my experience back over the years, every time I try to chase money, it eludes me, right? I'm not chasing money. I'm not begging. I'm not selling. I'm teaching and serving. Therefore, it ends up chasing me, right?
Yeah.
So everybody think of yourself as a teacher. I mean, and as you said a moment ago, Alex, you're doing them a favor. Hey, look, at the end of the day, they need us more than we need them. Now, it is a win-win scenario.
Sure.
But the thing of it is, when you start raising the money, you're going to get in the position pretty quick. You're going to have more money than you can use,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Particularly if you're, you know, if you're putting it out there and you're teaching.
right? I'm curious, Jay, because you mentioned at the top of the show that you have over 45, I think, private lenders at this point. I'm assuming that you've come across some people with deep, deep pockets. And the reason I bring that up is because, you know, Jay has just outlined, and I want to kind of quickly recap, you know, make a list. You know, that could be your cell phone, your email list, Facebook, social networks, etc. Narrow it down to 25 people. Start with the ones that are retired. Jay talked about calling them, having a conversation and asking that magic question. And then from there, you know, you offer them the 16-minute audio, the private lender presentation, and then Q&A. I'm assuming you've come across people that have millions of dollars, and maybe all people need is one or two or three or five private lenders. I don't want anybody to get overwhelmed hearing that, hey, you have 40 something lenders. You've been at this almost two decades, you know, at least the better part of a decade since you started raising capital. You might only need one or two or three lenders out there that have deep pockets. Now, I don't want you to rely on one. You know, Jay talked about the dangerous number. So maybe you just need a handful of private lenders, but don't be surprised if you, following Jay's process here, you come across some people that are just really, really well capitalized and can fund a lot of your deals.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. We have, you know, so the majority of those 46 people, I did not approach. The majority of those 46 people over time have been referred by the initial private lender. So that's what's going to happen. Yeah. You know, they're going to run their mouth and their friends are going to want to be interested and their family's going to want to be interested. So my initial core group of private lenders that I started with, well, again, that one that had 250, shortly after there, I had one with retirement money of $600,000, just one private lender. So I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, you don't need 46 private lenders. You need just one, two, or three to get started, and you're off to the races.
There you go. A couple more questions for you, Jay, before we wind down. And again, guys, I want to just go ahead and plug Jay's book. I don't get anything from this, referring this resource to you because I really believe it can help you. Where to get the money now? If you go to jayconner.com/free book, just take care of shipping and handling. And there's a wealth of knowledge and information in there. A lot more detail than what we're able to cover on a, you know, 45 to an hour long podcast here. But Jay, I want to go back to the indirect approach because I have found that's my approach. Right. When I'm seeking private money is I don't ask for the money. I'm planting seeds with people. That's kind of how I view it. I have a friend of mine that comes to mind and I won't mention his name because I don't know if he wants me putting it out there. But the guy's a master at indirectly through social media, creating Facebook posts that talk about the deal. And he strategically talks about how he's paying off his private lenders and how his private lenders, you know, have done very well in the deal, and he's positioning them as the hero, but it's very strategic in how he does it. I'm curious if do you leverage, whether it's social media or do you have any other indirect ways to just kind of let people know what it is you do so that they come to you?
Sure. So let's say you've got some audience members here that are actually into rehabbing and would like to raise some more private money. Well, guess what? You can have a real estate investor open house of one of your rehabs, right? And have a party, right? Have free food, free drinks, before pictures in the house. They're obviously seeing the after. You invite, you know, your credibility people, you invite your attorney, you invite your accountant, you invite, if you've got any current private lenders you've done business with, you could have them there. If you don't, that's fine. And so you have a party, right, that lasts about an hour and a half. You draw for prizes after you've been there for an hour, and you have a little talk there at the show, or there at the show, there at the party. It is a show. So you have a little talk, and guess what? In your talk, you, with permission, you talk about how it is that you fund your deals. And like your friend that posted on social media, you can talk about, and you know, you may be interested to know, how in the world did I fund this house? Well, I do business with private lenders, blah, 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 blah. They get insane high rates of return, and I create win-win scenarios to where the person I bought the house from wins. They had a problem. We fixed that. Private lenders make high rates of return. And now someone, a new family is going to enjoy this home. And so, again, it's just in the it's in the conversation.
Yeah, this has been awesome, man. I thank you for the time. I thank you for your heart. You know, I know that you serving people and helping people is really at the core of what you do. And I appreciate you, you know, putting together a book and a resource that just kind of like walks people through this process in much more detail. So guys, you know where to get that, jayconner.com/free book. Jay, man, any parting words, brother?
Absolutely. So my parting words would be, don't start this business like I did back in 2003, which was, you know, I read a book or two and then I went out there and tried to do it on my own. Not the way to go, right? So join hips with somebody that you trust, that's done this business, that, you know, can be a mentor or a coach to you. My other parting word is, in fact, I was on a podcast not long ago, and they hit me with this question at the end that really was really a great question. So I'll tell you the question. I'll give my answer. The question was, Jay, if you only had 30 seconds to give the best piece of advice that you could give anybody on the planet, what would that advice be?
Wow. Man, I wish I would have asked you that. Now I'm a little bit jealous, but not messing with you. Go ahead.
All right. So I didn't know that question was coming, but I can tell you the first thing that came to my mind. And the answer was, whatever you've been dreaming about, whatever it is that is in your heart's desire to go after, don't wait any longer. Do it now, because you don't want to be on your deathbed saying, I wish I had of blank. Life's too short. God's given you the time. Pursue your dream now.
Man, ain't that the truth? That's a mic drop right there. I'm not going to add anything else other than to just thank you for the time, man. This is, you've dropped a ton of nuggets. I got a page of notes, you know, and I'm the host here. So again, it's selfishly, I get to learn alongside you. And speaking of you, I really appreciate, you know, donating your time, giving us your time, your energy, your attention. I know it's valuable. And you're the reason that I host this show, and that I'm fortunate enough to connect with friends like Jay Conner and learn about raising private capital and so many other things that we cover on the show here. So if you've gotten any value, which I'm sure you have, just share these nuggets on social media, tag Jay and I, share this with a friend, and make sure you're subscribed to the Flip Empire Show so that you get notified every Monday and Thursday morning when new shows are released. Again, last plug, jayconner.com/free book. He's put it together, Where to Get the Money Now. Save yourself $20. Don't get it on Amazon. Just pay shipping, handling there. And I'm sure within a week or so, you'll get the book. And it just kind of walks you through the whole process. So, Jay, my brother, I appreciate you. You know, I'm always here for you. If you need anything, send Carol Joy my best and my love. And dude, I wish we could get together again soon. And I would hope that there's a piano nearby, because you are, is it pianist? How do you say somebody that plays the piano? Like, is it a... I don't even know how to say it.
Here in the South of North Carolina, we're a little, you know, shy of that word pianist, because you just don't know how that's going to sound. So I'm a piano player.
Okay, well, Jay is easily the best piano player I know. Last time we were together, you know, we were at like a hotel bar or something. There was a piano, and I'm having a conversation with someone, and I just hear this like melody. I hear this piano. And I've always told my wife, if I could ever learn how to play an instrument, it would be the piano. I think it's just so awesome. And I turn around and my man Jay Conner is rocking the piano there, just hitting the keys. And you slowly start to get a crowd formed around you. And you have become like the life of the party, where you play the piano for like half an hour. It was freaking awesome.
Well, we have a good time. Me and Carol Joy, every once in a while on Monday nights, go live on Facebook live streaming. And we have this thing called Piano Party, where we play Name That Tune. And this past Christmas, Monday night before Christmas, we had 1,800 people show up for a piano party.
Wow, that's incredible, man. Unbelievable, unbelievable. Well, definitely, guys, check out the book, check out the piano party, and I appreciate you. This has been a lot of fun. I appreciate you joining Jay and I here on the Flip Empire Show. So I will connect with you on the next one. Take care, everyone. Hope you enjoyed that episode. But before you go, you know, I've had a lot of people recently reach out to me wanting to learn more about Ascend, wanting to understand how the mastermind component works, how the coaching relationship works. And so right now we're actually on a waiting list. But what I would encourage you to do is, if you think you're the right fit and you think you could benefit from being a part of our community, head over to ascendyoursuccess.com, watch the short video, and then just click the apply to join button below. And then we'll be in contact with you if and when a spot opens up. So really appreciate you listening to Flip Empire here. And I look forward to connecting with you on the next show. Take care.